Good morning, everybody, and welcome yet again, one more day, to the Sunday morning adult discussion group at Williams Christian Fellowship. We love our Lord. Love to sit here and chat about him. Just a word that we have been in Matthew chapter 12, and we've kind of gone down a little side street in Isaiah chapter 42, and I think we have one more week to just clarify how chapter 42 of Isaiah connects back to Matthew chapter 12. So it's just a little rabbit hole we've been going in. And how about this morning? Oscar, why don't you start us off in a word of prayer?
Lord, we come into your presence right now, and we ask you, Father, to have your way here today. We give you all praise and glory. We just lift and magnify you. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. We ask you to just inspire us to share your word and give everyone that hears this word ears to hear what your Spirit would speak to them.
Yes,
and we just ask you, Father, that you be glorified in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord.
Let's see, where did we stop in Isaiah 42? I think we actually read the entire chapter, which was not a whole lot.
Yeah.
But
I see. I don't know how many verses there is in that. Let's see.
There are actually.
There's 20 something, or 30?
It's
25.
Okay. I think we got up to 14 anyway.
The chapter 42.
Yeah. You read the whole chapter, yeah. But then we kind of started talking about. I know that the last thing we talked about, Buddy had interjected something about a rose-colored stone, and you said something about the blood might have. And yeah. Buddy said Jesus was called the Rose of Sharon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I will say this, like last week I kind of emphasized this, and I will say it again. There's always levels of scripture, and you know, like when I first started studying the scriptures, I felt like the Lord kind of gave me a sort of a layout of how to approach scripture, you know. And it was basically this: when I look at scripture, whether I say it or not, this is what's in my mind, you know, because the Lord kind of ingrained that in me. When I'm reading scripture, I say who, what, why, where, and then I say, and how does this apply to me today? Because you have to realize that when you look at scripture, there's the historical part of scripture, which that's pretty plain what's written right there on the page. Mm-hmm. Then when it ministers to the soul, it will minister to you in ways that it will convict you, or it will encourage you, or whatever. And then there's the spiritual level of it, and the spiritual level will begin to elevate you as you really see it for what it really is, you know. So I know a lot of people would say, oh my goodness, how do you see that in that? You know, well, you can only see anything in scripture that God allows you to see. And you can't fault anybody who just sees it on the historical level, because it was history. You can't fault anybody even who sees it on the soulish level, because God's dealing with the soul man too. But the ultimate level is the spiritual level. And that's the level that will begin to elevate you into higher realms in God, you know. So I just wanted to say that before we go into this, because if someone's listening to this and they say, oh my God, how did you get that out of that? That's where it came from, because a lot of the things that God shows me in things, sometimes I've never heard them from anybody else, and sometimes I have, you know. But usually if I have, then what will happen is it will be something that confirms whatever God shows me in scripture. So I just wanted to say that before we go into this. Mm-hmm. And any of you guys say anything you want, because I don't want to monopolize this whole thing or anything. But let's start off, I'm going to start a little bit higher than 14, farther back than 14. And I'm just going to do that because I'm going to start with 12. It says, let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praises in the islands. And you know, we know that scripture tells us that praise is the fruit of our lips. And you know, God's going to have a praise in the whole earth. And as people come to the realization of who and what God is, they're going to praise him. And you know, praise elevates you. It elevates you. It brings relationship, because it says he inhabits the praises of his saints. You know, so naturally when we begin to praise God, we begin to rise up into a more spiritual realm than what just the natural realm is. And 13 says, and the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. And you know, a lot of times we tend to think of our enemies as being the things out there. And really the biggest enemy we have is right inside of us. It's the natural carnal mind that is an enmity against God and can't know the things of God and don't really want to know the things of God. But thank God that scripture tells us that we have the mind of Christ. And you know, and tells us, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Now, some people take that being equal with God, I think at times a little too far. You know, to where they almost begin to proclaim themselves as being God. And that's not really what that's about. He's wanting to elevate us up into the relationship where we have such fellowship with him that the mind of Christ fully functions in us. And when it fully functions in us, then, yeah, it will be God. And the words that you speak, when that mind is functioning in you completely, will be the word of God. And, you know, that's why Jesus said, I hear my Father say, or only do that which I see my Father do, you know, that kind of thing. And when we come to that level to where we're doing that also, then, you know, we will have entered into a oneness, such a oneness with God that we will be able to say, like Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Mm-hmm. Because you will, that the Spirit in Christ will be so strong in you that you'll only do that which you see your Father do and only speak that which you hear your Father speak. So it says, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He's raising up a new man in this hour. And that new man, you know, technically there's two men in the earth. There's the Adamic nature and then there's the nature of Christ. And, you know, in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, it talks about us coming to the, keeping the unity of the faith, unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, and then coming to the unity of the faith unto a really mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When you come to the measure, the stature, the fullness of something, you have become that thing too, you know. And, you know, when we come to the place where we realize that we are the body of Christ and he wants us to grow up into that, and that mighty man that's going to stand up in the earth is the body of Christ. There was an old time prophet, and I read that years ago. He said he had a vision. And he saw the body of Christ laying across the earth, you know, like just, you know, laying across the earth. And he said, and there was all kind of debris all over this body. And I mean, just things weighing the body of Christ down, you know. And he said, and all of a sudden he began to shake himself, the body of Christ. And as he began to shake himself, all of the debris started falling off. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, he stood up, and it was the body of Christ, and it covered the whole earth with power and might and that kind of thing, you know. And you can sure see a need for that to happen, you know, in the body of Christ, you know. But and he says, a mighty man shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, and roar, and he shall prevail against his enemies. Well, we know that Jesus has already prevailed against all enemies. We can walk in victory, and we can walk in authority, but only as we acknowledge him and what he did and what he's doing in us, you know. And when we do that, then we can begin to fulfill this 13th verse here, you know. And it says, blindness of the people is the heading for this next verse. And it says, I have a long time holding my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. Well, you know, if you've ever been around someone who's having a baby, it's rough. Women are tougher than guys think they are. Women are very tough, because having a baby is not an easy thing, especially if you have it by natural childbirth, because there's a lot of birth pangs and stuff like that. And you know, God is trying to birth his nature into the earth, and he's trying to bring to fruition, he's trying to bring the body of Christ forth, you know, birth it into the earth, in the sense that it starts growing to that full-aged man. And you know, and it says, I will destroy and devour at once. Well, he needs to destroy our thought processes, our things that hinder us from coming to that full birth. You know, Paul said one time that, I believe he said, he travailed in birth until Christ be formed in you, you know. And that's what's going to have to happen to the full body of Christ, you know, where it's not just a religious thing, but it's actually a birthing of the Spirit of God in the church out there, you know, where they come to a place of not just traditional religion, as so to speak, but they come to a place of wanting to know him in such a way that it becomes an intimate situation. And then I believe the body of Christ will begin to be birthed into the earth totally. And when it's birthed into the earth, there won't be divisions, you know. I love what Revelation said about, you know, when John saw what was the Jesus, you know, but I believe what he saw was the fullness of the body of Christ standing up in Jesus. Because when he spoke, he said his voice was as the voice of many waters. And he's told us that out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And then, you know, in this, Daniel had basically almost the same revelation there when he saw the Ancient of Days, you know. When he described it just like John did, except there was two differences. In Daniel, when he described it, he talked about his loins being girded about with gold. And we know that gold is a type of the divinity of God, the eternal glory of God type thing. And his loins were girded about with gold. What was it? Why was it his loins? Because God was going to birth something into the earth that had never been in the earth before. See? And then when John had his revelations, it wasn't the loins that were girded about with gold, it was paps. And the paps, the word for paps is the word for female breasts. And what God was going to do is birth the motherhood love nature of God into the earth. And it was going to want to draw people up to the breast and feed them the sincere milk of the Word of God, whereby they can grow into maturity, you know. And, you know, a lot of people today do not breastfeed their children when they're born, you know. They give them Similac and all these other things that are out there, you know, which are fine and they're good. But you know, they know that the best thing that you can feed your children with is the natural breast of a mother. Because not only is the nourishment there, but a lot of the immunity to diseases and different other things that the mother has built up in her body transfers partially into that baby. And that's why a lot of times babies who are breastfed are so much more healthier a lot of times than babies who aren't. They don't get sick as much or anything else, you know. And when when I talked to you a couple of weeks ago about the placenta, you know, when I was and the Lord had spoke that word placenta to me, I'm gonna be quiet and then let you guys jump in and do some talking. But when he spoke that word placenta to me, and I thought, well, Lord, that's a strange thing for you to say. I'm just thinking that in my mind. And then I thought, well, I don't know that much about the placenta. I know it's the afterbirth, but I don't know what it does and everything exactly. Well, as I studied into it, what I found out was is that when the mother conceives, her uterus lining begins to develop a placenta. And the placenta is where the baby's umbilical cord is attached to it, and it's attached to the mother too. And what it does is that when the blood of the mother passes into the placenta, all of the nourishment of the mother's blood is taken out and transferred into the baby. Not the blood, just the nourishment, okay? And when the baby's blood passes into the placenta, there's three veins in there. And when the baby's blood passes into the placenta, that sends in the waste of the baby. Because, you know, a lot of times, like I said when I preached that sermon, one of the first things baby do after they cry and they're waking up and all this kind of stuff, a lot of times they will go to the bathroom. And they have to get rid of the waste in their body that way. But that waste goes back. The blood doesn't go into the mother either, just the waste. The placenta takes the waste out of the baby's blood, sends it into the mother. And the mothers receive the waste. Well, what is that a type of? What did Jesus Christ do on Calvary? He took what? The sins of all the world upon himself. He took all the waste, all of the bad stuff unto himself. And, you know, because he did that, he cleansed us from all sin, you know, all waste. And yet what we receive from him is he becomes our nourishment, our thing that will help us grow into that image and likeness of God. Because we know that he's our peace, he's our health, he's all of the things that the scripture says that he is. You know, so anyway, when we look here and it says, and I will bind away they that knew not, and I will lead them in a path that they did not know, and I will make darkness light unto them before them, and crooked places straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Well, we know that, you know, Scripture tells us that straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. But we also know that he's the one that keeps us on the path, you know. Every once in a while, I think we try to deviate away from the path a little bit. And when we do, we find that we're in a place of disappointment, a place of being discouraged and everything else. But we know that he has never forsook us and never he doesn't forsake us. And he's with us all the time. But he's going to take us into the straight places, into the places that lead straight to him, you know. Okay, and I'm gonna be quiet there and see if any of you guys got anything you want to say. And if you don't understand any of the things I'm saying, just stop me and I'll try to explain it better. Okay.
I also read in Facebook where the doctors have found that when a mother, even if she has miscarried that child, mm-hmm. there are cells of that child that remain with the mother. Mm-hmm. And they talk about that about, you know, they say we always, they're always a part of us, and we carry them. And they really are. Scientifically, they have found out that there are cells of that child that you carry that remains in your system, you know, that is a part of you.
Well, see, the thing about it is that even the definition of the word placenta, if you look it up, you have to kind of follow it down a little ways. And one of the definitions of that word means tree of life.
Wow.
Tree of life. Now, we know who the tree of life is. We know it's Jesus in the natural, but I mean in a spiritual realm. But see, even the things of the natural declare the things of the spirit.
Well, isn't it amazing that knowing that just screams to me, we are one.
Right.
We're all, you know, I wonder how many, you know, the cells of our body carry back thousands and thousands of years of history of life that God gave to Adam.
Yeah. Well, see, even to be honest with you, I heard a minister many, many years ago when I was first saved say something that he felt like that the reason that Jesus had to shed his blood for us, you know, was that our blood is polluted, you know. And actually, all the diseases and the sicknesses and everything that you have in your body that gets into your body, how does it get in your body? Through the bloodstream. And it travels through your body through the bloodstream. And yet, you know, the blood of Jesus, you got to realize, Jesus was a unique new creation man in the sense that he was born of Mary, but he didn't have a natural father. You know, he was not born of a natural father. Mm-hmm. He was born of God. Mm-hmm. So, you know, man, this is kind of a getting into a little bit of scientific stuff, and most of you probably already know this, but man is the one who determines the sex of a baby, not a woman. Mm-hmm. Man has both X and Y, you know, and he's the one when you conceive. That if I believe it's the, I'm not sure which it is, the X or the Y, which one's one for male and female, I'm not sure right offhand, but whichever one of those chromosomes that actually gets in the egg makes the difference and creates what, whether it's a boy or a girl when the baby's born. I think the mother has Y chromosomes, I'm pretty sure that's what it is, and the males have X and Y chromosomes. But just think about this, when Mary was conceived, she had Y chromosomes, I'm pretty sure that's the case, but she also has whatever chromosome God had, whatever he put in there, you know, by his spirit when it overshadowed her, you know. And the thing that was born was a new creation man. And that new creation man is why we have to be born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And that incorruptible seed is, and so to speak, it replaces us spiritually with the seed of God, you know, rather than the seed of Adam, you know. And I hope that makes sense to you, but that's the way I see it. And, you know, it's one of those things that new creation man is Jesus Christ, and we've been born of that seed, you know.
There's a lot of songs that's been given through the Spirit of God.
Right.
And there's one song, if I can find the booklet, because we had a booklet that has a lot of songs that were given during Bill Britton's, not gonna say rain.
Well, his teachings and stuff. Teaching. Yeah.
And when David Hoss and the people who traveled to a lot of different meetings, different places, not just him speaking, but other minister speaking. But there is this one song that is the cells of my body.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing.
Speak forth new life. Every atom
radiates God's glory.
Yes.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. It is.
It's true.
It's true.
And I said,
yeah.
Given by God.
Well, see, even in the mail, and I mean, we're getting into, and I'm not no expert on anatomy and all that, but even the male, the sperm of a male is made from the blood. The blood has to create that, you know, it comes from the blood. And when you realize that when scripture says that we've been washed in the blood of the
yes.
Lamb, we've been, when you're washed in something, you're totally submerged in it, you know. And that chromosome of God, we've been washed in that. That's replaced the Adamic chromosome, so to speak, if you want to get right down to it, spiritually speaking. And, you know, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about how be it that which was natural came first, you know, then that which was spiritual came after that. So we bore the image of the earthly, but now we have to bear the image of the heavenly.
Yes.
Why? How do you bear the image of the heavenly? You've been born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, and well, that'll be in my sermon a little bit today, but you've been born again of that, you know, and you became a new creation man, you know. Man actually standing in the image and likeness of God. But we have to grow up into the fullness of that. And, you know, and we're like children, so to speak. And a lot of people are trying to claim that they're way beyond a child at this point. I haven't seen it in anybody. And maybe I'm just not focused enough to see it in other people. But I think we're still in the process of being changed from glory to glory into that very image. And, you know, part of the change of anything that happens in God has to happen through faith,
mm-hmm.
and we have to believe. And sometimes, you know, you have to proclaim things that are not as though they were,
mm-hmm.
you know, because in God they are,
yes.
because He said it. Now, that sounds like a, what do you call those things when it's an oxymoron? But it's not really an oxymoron.
No,
it's a truth. It's a deep truth. And we have to start claiming what God says about us. But also with the reality of that it's a process. And as that process proceeds forward, you know, it's like that in, well, I believe it's in Isaiah 40, 48, I think, I believe it's 48, where he said, we're being, little by little, he's changing us, you know,
yes.
line upon line, precept upon precept.
Till I'm free.
Yeah, and in that actual scripture it says, and this is the rest wherein the weary shall rest. And then he says, but you would not, and you fell back. Well, you would not meant that you chose not to allow it to take place, you know. And we do have the ability to make a choice. And, you know, we have to realize that that's why it's important for us to receive the Word of God and be changed a little bit at a time, you know. And we are being changed from glory to glory into the very image, you know. But, you know.
If you read on a little bit further,
uh-huh.
I think it's talking about this right there.
Mm-hmm.
It says, and it needs a lot of clarification in my mind because my mind is still
yeah.
blind. Anyway, it says, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not.
Mm-hmm.
And I will lead them in paths they have not known.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, it's not... It doesn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I will make darkness light before them.
Mm-hmm.
Come on a little further. Come on a little further. And crooked things straight.
Mm-hmm.
These are the blind that he's talking about. I'll make the crooked things straight. These things I will do unto them, and I will not forsake them.
Yeah,
they might think they're being forsaken, but I am not forsaking them.
That's a powerful word there.
Yes.
Very powerful.
And he says, they shall be turned back. Mm-hmm. They shall be greatly ashamed. And that in that repentance, you know, that's where the change takes place,
yeah.
But not through anything that we've done. You know, he says, I will do these things. I'm going to make their crooked things straight. I'm going to bring these things. These things I will do to them and not forsake them.
Yeah.
They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed and trust. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images and say to the molten images, ye are my gods.
Mm-hmm.
Wall Street's my god, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Success, mm-hmm. money, these things are all, mm-hmm. and they're blind.
Mm-hmm.
We are still,
yeah.
you know, we have cataracts,
mm-hmm.
remove them. Who is blind but my servant? Now, right here is where it gets into things that confuse me a little bit. It needs to be clarified for me. I kind of get it, but I don't. Who is blind? All you guys, you know, you're blind. And I'm going to do these things to you, but I'll never forsake you. I'm bringing you along. Who is blind but my servant?
Mm-hmm.
Or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect? And blind as the Lord's servant?
Yeah. Well, you know, I will say this, you know, and then I've shared this message and I've talked on it different times. The time that the Lord had me, I was cutting the grass in the backyard and we had a big flower bed back there that was 40 feet long. And it was across the whole backyard and it was like, I don't know, 4 or 5 feet deep, something like that. And Margaret's job was, this was at a house we used to live at, her job was to weed the flower bed, and she didn't weed it all the time, but she did most of the time. She's real good about that stuff. She got a green thumb, I got a brown thumb, so I don't try to grow stuff. But anyway, I cut the grass and I'm back there and I see these big, to me look like tall weeds growing along the hillside on the side of the, house. So I'm back there and I thought, man, she didn't weed this thing forever, you know. And I took and pulled them up and broke them and threw them down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she come out on the porch, on the deck, you know, we built this deck. And our backyard was real small anyway. She come out there and she says, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean? She says, you broke my trees. You broke my trees. I said, your trees? I said, them things look like bushes to me. She says, those are trees that grow really fast, and they would have growed up and put shade on the deck, you know, because the sun would shine on our deck. We, you know, get pretty hot sitting out there. She said, those would have grown up real fast, and she said, they would have shaded our deck. You broke my trees. Well, the Lord had already been dealing with me because Brother Eddie had asked me to speak. And he had given me the scriptures, my people perish for lack of vision. He had already given me that scripture. And as she's fussing at me, I'm almost laughing on the inside because I know exactly what God's doing. He's visibly showing me what he's showed me in the Word. I mean, he's shown it to me in the natural, see? And he had given me that scripture about the blind man, you know, about, you know, where Jesus anointed the blind man's eyes. You know, he put clay on his eyes, spit in his eyes or whatever, put clay on his eyes. And he said, what do you see? And he said, I see men walking about as trees. And then he prayed for him again. He said, now what do you see? He said, I see every man clearly. And I knew exactly what God was telling me. And he was showing it to me.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying, son, until you see every man, not some men, not just Christian people, until you see every man as a potential fruit-bearing tree, you're blind.
Mm-hmm.
You're still blind. But when you begin to see every man as that tree, then that's the beginning of true vision, because then you'll see every man clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew exactly what he was saying to me. My people perish for lack of vision, see? Well, they're perishing because we don't realize what God's purpose and his intention for them is. And that's the same as what we're reading here.
Exactly.
You know, who is blind, my servant or deaf, as my messenger that I send? Who is the blind? Is he that is perfect and blind as the Lord's servant, seeing many things, but not observant, not opening the ears, but he heareth not, you know. And oh my God, when I read stuff like that, the Lord takes me right back to when I was a kid and mother would tell me to do something and I didn't want to do it maybe exactly, so I didn't get up and do it exactly when she said do it. And then she had to say, do you hear me? I said, go do that. You know, yeah, I heard you, but I really didn't want to hear you. And that's where we're at sometimes in the Lord. He'll speak to us and we think, oh yeah, I heard you, Lord, but I really don't want to do that. You know,
and that's an immature
that's,
way of reacting.
It is, and that's just like what happened with Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
God told him to go to Nineveh. You know, he was going to destroy Nineveh. And what did Jonah do? He went 180 degrees in the other direction, the farthest ends of the earth, away from Nineveh. And
disobedience.
Yeah, disobedience. And that's where we all are at times, see. You know, the Lord spoke to me one time and he was gonna open doors, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I probably shouldn't have done this, but maybe I shouldn't have even said something about Holden saying that the Lord had told him he was opening a door for him. And I said that in a sermon a couple of weeks ago, and I shouldn't have probably said that because that was between him and the Lord.
Yeah.
But what I was trying to encourage him is that step through the door, son, when he's opening the door. Mm-hmm. Because he'll bring you back to a place where you'll have to step through that door if he opened it. And anyway, so what I was thinking about concerning that was I used to go into Miles's Sunday school class, you know, and I'd sit in there. And Miles would get off into some pretty heady stuff sometimes, things he would say. And you'd walk out there scratching your head thinking, what in the world did he just say? You know, and then later on the Lord would deal with you or something.
Yeah.
And it'd be very clear what he said, you know what I mean? And anyway, because he'd say stuff like stored order of memory, you know, RAM or ROM and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Those are computer terms,
yeah.
But you know, but. It was true what he was saying, you know what I mean. And anyway, so I was at a Wednesday night service, and I didn't go to Wednesday night services all the time, but I was at this Wednesday night service, and I'm sitting there, and he says to me, he says, Oscar, will you take my Sunday school class next Sunday? And I'm thinking, oh God, I can't take his Sunday school class. You know, he knows things. He's saying things I don't even know what he's saying half the time. You know, yeah. I mean, yeah. And I'm sitting there, and I had told the Lord, I said, Lord, when you open doors, I'll step through them, but I'm not gonna beat doors down, and I'm not gonna push my way into anything. I said, you gotta open the door if you want me to. And the minute he said that to me, and I'm sitting there wrestling, thinking I'm gonna tell him no. And the minute I'm sitting there, and I didn't say anything, and I felt like the Lord said, didn't you tell me when I opened the door, you'd walk through it? And I said, oh, okay. I said, okay, I'll do it. I didn't really want to do it, you know, but I said, okay, I'll do it. And, you know, I taught his Sunday school class the next week when he was gone or something, and I felt like I did a terrible job, you know, with concern compared to what he did, you know. But I guess it was okay, I don't know. But anyway, you know, it's one of those things that God will put you in positions where if you tell him something or you agree to something, he'll bring you to that point and he'll bring you back to it. And when you're young in the Lord, real young in the Lord, he'll kind of wink at you a little bit even when you don't do it.
Yeah.
But you'll feel very, very condemned in it, you know. But you know, if we don't move when he tries to get us to move, then we're really just deceiving ourselves. You know what I mean? And I mean, I've heard people say, oh, bless God, I feel like my ministry is a missionary things. And then they never do nothing for missionary things, you know. And I'm sure people will open up opportunities for them to do missionary things. And a lot of times what will end up happening, that very same person that'll say, I feel like my ministry is in a mission, that very same person will not do something for the missionary people. And will get mad when somebody else does it instead of them. You know what I mean? I had a situation, you know, I used to line up people to go down to the City Gospel Mission. And I went down there for years, you know, with Ernie and them. And then Ernie finally said, you know, he couldn't go no more. He didn't want to go no more. And I took it over for a while. And I would ask people to go down there and speak. And there was a certain brother in the church that wanted, was kind of asking Brother Eddie to let him speak on a Sunday, and he hadn't opened the door yet. And this particular brother, the Lord said, ask this guy to speak at the mission. Mm-hmm. And I went and I said, hey, brother, I said, I feel like the Lord told me to ask you if you'd come and speak at the mission. And he said, well, I'll have to think about it. And I said, oh, okay, it's fine. Let's pray about it, you know, whatever. Then I would come back to him when it was getting time, about time to go down there. And I said to him, I said, well, but I will say this. The Lord told me he won't do it. Mm-hmm. The Lord had already told me he won't do it, mm-hmm. when I asked him. And and I said to him, I said, well, I said, are you going to speak down at the mission for me? He said, no, he says, I feel like I have a lot deeper word, a lot more advanced word than what I want to speak at the mission. And I'm thinking, oh my God. And you know what? And then I understood why the Lord had not opened the door up for him to speak. Because there was a big pride thing there, and he thought he was way above. I got news for you. You ain't above nothing that God asked you to do.
And his word is that he deals in simplicity.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, with us, and then we think we got to go way out there.
Yeah,
no. And plus, missionary, some people think they're supposed to be in the field out here. What about your neighbors? Well, about, you know, being...
Yeah.
Because what does the word a missionary mean?
Yeah. Well, this particular brother was into music real heavy. You know, he was a real, really, he was a good musician, all this, very into music. Well, as far as I know, he never spoke anywhere, never. And as far as I know, well, and I know he ended up getting a divorce from his wife and all kind, and it was just a downward spiral for him in his life. I don't know where he's at today. I don't know what's going on with him today, because he moved out of this area, you know, and stuff. But we kid ourselves sometimes, you know what I mean? You don't tell God what you will and won't do, you know what I mean? You tell God, Lord, here am I, you know, and you let him put you wherever he wants to put you. Now, the only thing that I ever told God was, you have to open the door if you want me to do it, you know, because I'm not going to, I never once went and told Brother Eddie I wanted to speak, not one time. I mean, that sounds hard to believe, because I spoke a lot of times when he was still pastor. But Lord would sovereignly have him ask me. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that I wouldn't have spoke, because I would have any time. But I didn't feel like I was supposed to ask him if I could speak. And I don't say that works for anybody else, and I don't tell anybody else to do that. But I can tell you this, Brother Eddie was insecure about letting people get in the pulpit. Because he had had, you know, when him and Audrey had gotten married or went on their honeymoon or something like that, the church split one time. And the guy who was teaching and stuff split the church and took half the people and left, you know. So he was a little insecure about that stuff. And I didn't know that at the time, but I just felt like I was never, and I understand that now, you know, when I knew that. Yeah. But you know, I never felt like I was supposed to tell him I wanted to speak. And I you know, I've told you all the story about Numbers, the 13th chapter, the giants in the land. I've told you about that. Mm-hmm. And I told you that, you know, the Lord spoke the word Anak to me in church. And I wasn't even sitting on a platform back then. I was an elder, but I wasn't on the platform. And he spoke the word Anak to me. And I wrote the word Anak down because I didn't even know who Anak was. I don't even know if I even spelled it right. I just wrote down some letters and I meant Anak. Anyway, so I was sick, and the Lord asked, I felt like the Lord wanted me to study. And I had the flu, and I was pretty sick, and I had a fever. And I'm laying in the bed, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, you really want me to study? And I felt like he did. Well, I got the Strong's Concordance out, and I looked up the word Anak, and I found out it was mentioned in Numbers, the 13th chapter. So I went back to Numbers, the 13th chapter, and I started reading. And Anak was the father of all the giants in the land when they got ready to cross over the Jordan and go into the Promised Land. And before they went over there, in Numbers the 13th chapter, it tells you that the sons of Anak were over there, you know, all the giants in the land. And then the Lord began to deal with me about a whole sermon on that. Well, I had never told Ivy or anybody that I was going to speak. And this was like a few weeks later, and I was feeling pretty good then. And I went to church that morning, and I felt like I was going to speak. And usually if I felt like I was going to speak, the door would always open up for me to speak. And anyway, so I went to church, and nothing happened. So I thought, well, maybe I really missed this, you know. So we're at home, and we're laying in the bed, taking a nap, me and Margaret, after church, you know. Telephone rings. Sister Audrey, she says, Brother Oscar, she says, Eddie's sick and he can't come to church tonight. And I told him, you probably had something. And she says, have you got something you can share? And I'm smiling because I'm thinking, Lord, you told me he was going to open the door. You know, because, I mean, you have to learn. You have to learn that God's in control of all this stuff. And I said, well, yeah, I got something I can speak. Well, I shared that sermon, you know, about the giants in the land. Mm-hmm. And that's in that sermon, when they went over to look at the land, there was 12 of them. And it was the 12 tribes of Israel, and it was Joshua and Caleb with they made up the 12. They were the two of the 12. 10 came back with a bad report. What is 10 in the numbers of scripture? When you look up the numbers of scripture, it's law and responsibility. And Joshua and Caleb came back, and Joshua didn't say anything, but Caleb did the talking. And Caleb came back and he said, we're well able to go over and take the land. And the 10 said, there was these giants in the land, and they said, and we were as grasshoppers in our own eyes, mm-hmm. our own eyes, see, and so we were in theirs.
Yep.
And what scripture say, as a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. Okay. And anyway, but Caleb said, no, we're well able to go over and take it. He said, those giants will be bread for us. And God immediately brought that commercial to me about Wonder Bread. And Wonder Bread, the commercial was, builds strong bodies in 12 ways. 12 is a number for governmental perfection. Mm-hmm. You know, and you don't think that everything that you see and you do, God can relate it to the word? He can. He can, and he does. And he said, well, there'll be bread for us. Well, all the giants that you could come across in your life are the very things that when you overcome them, that make you grow by leaps and bounds. Because when that kid would take a piece of bread, that Wonder Bread, he'd be about this tall, and he'd take a bite of Wonder Bread, and he'd be about this tall. Then he'd take another bite of Wonder Bread, and he'd be about this tall. Next thing, he was a full-grown man, you know, eating Wonder Bread. I mean, it's almost comical the way the Lord brings this stuff to you, you know, sometimes this stuff. But, you know, when we realize that us hearing and us seeing things is has to be God, you know. And you know, can I take credit for any of that stuff that God's ever shown? No, I can't take a bit of credit for none of that stuff. I didn't know any of this stuff. God opened it up, you know, and it's all Him, you know, and you have to give Him the glory. And that's the thing. And it ain't you having to do something, it's you letting the Lord speak to you and say, Lord, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to teach me in this situation? And if you ask them questions of God, a lot of times He'll answer you, you know, and He'll let you know. And He did with that, and they didn't get to go into the land then because they turned it down. And then when they decided they was going to do it, because they didn't do it when God opened the door, they went over and the enemy was beating them back, and then they had to come back, you know. But when God tells you to do it, and He knew they wasn't going to do it, He knew ahead of time that the law will never, never get you into the promised land. It won't get you there. And when you come to realize that it has to be by grace, and it was Joshua and Caleb. Joshua's name means God the Savior. He didn't say anything. But he was there with Caleb. And Caleb did all the talking. Caleb's name means forcibly. Forcibly.
Well, it says right there that God, He was holding His peace for a long time.
Yeah, and that word forcibly, there's a scripture that says, the kingdom of God suffereth violence.
Yeah.
And the violent take it by what? Storm, force. By force. Yeah, no, they take it by force. And what does that mean? That means that you have to have that attitude. I'm going to press into God. I'm going to do it. You know, you have to have almost a violent desire to do what God wants you to do, you know.
But you know, I was just thinking when you were talking about your mother and also about Margaret, when you were doing these things, you said, not now, and I can almost understand when God sees us doing that and He comes and He says, you know, do this, speaks to you in this still small voice, and you go, not now, not now, you know. And there it goes on about, who is blind but my servant? That's true, at a place of growth. But what does God see? He sees the growth. And He says, see many things, but you observe not, opening the ears, but you hear not. Yeah. And then He says, but the Lord is well pleased.
Uh-huh. Well,
for His righteousness' sake,
yeah.
He will, and then He says He will magnify the law and make it honorable. And yeah. You know what? The law is not honorable.
Right.
But God magnified the law because it was becoming a stepping stone for man to walk himself out of the knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
And that doesn't get you into the promised land, which you were just talking about too. It's amazing to me sometimes the way God puts those things together.
Yeah, and think about this. You know, we know that Jesus told him, He said, we know the law is a type of the commandments, okay? Mm-hmm. But we know that Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. What was the new commandment? Was that you love one another, even as I have loved you. And He said, and on this hangs all the law and the prophets, basically, is what He was saying. So we love, it all revolves around love. And the only way you'll ever completely ever function in the law and fulfill the law is if you do it out of the attitude of love. That's the only way it can ever work. It can't work because our selfishness won't let us do it out of love, you know, and we'll reject what God tells us to do and everything else, you know. But that's good what you said, Kathy. That's really good. Okay. Well, I think we're going to have to quit. So
yeah.
we got almost to the end.
Yeah. I'd love to go on a little bit further, though, and talk about that.
Yeah.
That who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? You know, we need to see by faith and observe. Okay, that was really good again. So let's just go on and finish up those last two or three next time, and we'll jump right back into Matthew.
Okay.
Who wants to pray?
Father, we just thank you for this class. Father, we thank you that we are gathering information, Father, from you, Lord, for you're the only one that can enlighten our world. Father, just bless your people as we go forth into the next service. And Father, just may your presence be among us, Father.
Yes.
May your love surround us. Mm-hmm. For we ask it all in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.